Welcome to Rights Watch, a program about human rights around the world from Human Rights Watch. Jesse Graham is away. I'm Amy Costello. This week we take a look at the Human Rights Watch 20th International Film Festival, which opens June 11th in New York. I spoke with the festival's director, Andrea Holly, about some of the films that will be shown. We began by discussing Remnants of a War, which explores the devastating impact of cluster bombs in southern Lebanon. In this film, Holly says what you hear is just as important as what you see.
That's a film that stands out for me in terms of its what we call sound design, the music choices they made, the ambient noise, the very distinct sounds you hear as you can imagine walking through a field in Lebanon where there might well be a cluster munition. Sound becomes very important in those kind of scenarios.
And in Remnants of War, can you think of a particular scene where you think that sound is used effectively to convey the sense of insecurity and heightened awareness that people have to live with in a place like Lebanon?
It's an interesting question. Actually, in just thinking about the film, the very beginning and the end of the film actually are very effective in this way. The very beginning of the film opens with a scene of what in fact happens when they do find a cluster munition and have to detonate it. You hear people's boots crunching on rocks. They're walking in a field.
This is Yankee Bravo 271, over.
You hear the clicking of their radios, and you hear them communicating.
3 minutes, Fatma, over.
And then suddenly, it's very, very quiet, and you just hear a simple count.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And then there's an explosion. And it's really quite startling. And in a cinema, if you're watching it with us in the cinema, you actually can feel it, the vibration. So that's how the film begins.
And then we have another film in this festival, Look Into My Eyes, about a Israeli man's exploration of anti-Semitism in many regions around the world. He actually travels to many regions around the world to explore this theme. And let's just talk for people who haven't seen the film, a few of the places that he did go.
Yes. For example, in Germany, there are certain people who still write and publish works very much in the neo-Nazi genre. And so Naftali went and spent time with one of the writers who would look him dead in the face and say things like he didn't believe the Holocaust happened and this sort of Holocaust denier mode. Another place he came was, in fact, the United States. I think people do have some general knowledge of the fact that there's a connection between certain aspects of the Christian community in this country, in the United States, and the support of Israel or the connection to Israel. So Naftali made a point of visiting one of these large churches near Chicago in the Midwest and talking to the minister.
Well, the Jewish nation is very, very important to us. Israel is very important to us.
Who, ironically, despite his enthusiastic support for the state of Israel, as the interview is winding down, begins to speak about how Israelis in Israel kind of annoyed him.
You know, and by the way, I just want you to know that the Jewish people and all of the people in Israel, they do kind of aggravate me. Because when I go to Israel, they are so rude.
You see Naftali's face, because I think he wasn't expecting that towards the end of the interview. Is that anti-Semitism? Well, you know, that's for you to decide. That was a bit of an unexpected turn in that interview, as it turned out.
And one of my favorite scenes in Look Me in the Eyes is when the filmmaker travels to Harlem to speak to the editor of Amsterdam News. Mm-hmm. That man is black. He is married to a Jewish woman, as it turns out. And their daughter is now running the Amsterdam News. And he goes to speak to the daughter, half black, half Jewish. And she really turns the tables on him. Let's play that scene where he walks into the offices of Amsterdam News and tries to speak to the woman who is running the paper about her background.
Are you feel more Jewish or more black?
Both.
Both? Which side of you is the black side and which side is the Jewish side?
It's all mixed up.
Yeah?
You can't split it up.
The only people that have ever questioned my identity are Jewish people.
Yeah, you know.
No one black has ever questioned my Jewish identity.
What did you think of that scene?
But it's always been Jews that have
said. I actually, that's one of my favorite scenes, too. she hits the identity question kind of right on the head. Those two people engaging for me, given that he was making a film about identity in a way, I thought it was a very pivotal scene. That's part of the reason I think he made the film. I think that's part of his journey. I think he wanted to challenge himself. And some of the people he selected were definitely people who were going to challenge him.
Let's move on to Afghan Star, a fabulous film about their new television show trying to find Afghanistan's new singer. What was your response the first time you saw that film?
It is a film that jumps out at a group of people like ourselves, because in human rights film programming, it's not as common as we would like that you find a film that's upbeat and has not quite a happy ending, but certainly a positive ending. It's one of those films that I think gets at very serious issues in a way that's very easy to process and swallow. And I think everything that you experience with the four main characters is so reflective of what the country experiences. And it gave you a very interesting insight into popular culture there and how people react to the opportunity to participate. So for us, the most serious part of the film is what unrolls as the sort of contestants progress and what develops with the women characters and what happens in the context of the culture there. And music is certainly a unifying force, but there are limits as to what one can do. And that comes through very clearly. Human Rights Watch, of course, has done lots and lots of research and publications on women's and children's rights in Afghanistan. So that struck us quite sort of hard right away in terms of how that plays out, even in the most positive, encouraging of settings.
I'm going to set up a scene now that I found to be one of the most shocking and compelling in the film Afghan Star, where they are going through the elimination rounds of these 10 singers who want to be kind of Afghanistan's next idol. And they have the elimination process on the stage, and there's one woman left standing on the stage who is told that this will be her last performance, that she will not be invited back. And she's only one of two women who are in the contest. And so she gets on that stage and starts to sing. But more importantly, she starts to dance. And then her scarf comes off her head. I couldn't believe it. I found the responses of the other contestants to that scene very interesting.
Exactly the same thought I had when we saw that scene. You see the other contestants in the background watching the monitor, and there's a lot of shame on her type talk. Everyone is like, oh no, Afghan girls, don't do that.
And she had also, in a way, jeopardized all of them, because it seems the show in and of itself was pushing the envelope culturally and religiously there, that her decision to take it one step further and behave in a way that she obviously well knew would be incredibly controversial, really, I would imagine, put all the contestants and the show itself at risk.
It's a very good point, and it's something that the filmmaker Havana Marking has articulated in screenings where we've been together. It shows you that in a country like Afghanistan, the distance between controversy and endangerment is very small. So to do something controversial, it becomes endangerment very quickly. The underlying human rights issues, there's such a cultural dimension to all of this. And the culture in Afghanistan at some point was extremely different. You have a change of power, you have several different armed conflicts, you have all sorts of things. And then you get to a point where dancing becomes controversial, to the point that your life doesn't even hold enough value for us not to kill you. Like, we'll kill you for dancing. And the reason I make this kind of drastic statement is that that's what the human rights world is all about, having a culture where human life is valued. And if you've gotten to a point in any country where human life doesn't even hold enough value not to shoot someone or kill someone for dancing, and the dominant culture, be it because it's being promulgated by the Taliban, be it because it's the military regime, be it whoever, becomes one of human life having no value. And elements of your culture that used to be appreciated and valued and celebrated being repressed or destroyed. Or it's all these things that work together. And just for me, one of the strongest points about Afghan Star is the intersection of that cultural level of human rights with the more traditional nation-state political dimension. It shows you how powerful culture can be in shifting that paradigm back towards a more human rights-friendly value system where life is preserved and not extinguished at the drop of a hat.
Andrea Holly, Deputy Director of the 20th Human Rights Watch International Film Festival. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Rights Watch for this week. Human Rights Watch is an independent organization dedicated to defending and protecting human rights around the world. For more about us, including audio, video, and multimedia features, please visit hrw.org. Thanks for listening to Rights Watch. I'm Amy Costello.